The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
Good morning. Welcome to your Wednesday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo. Produced by Frank Morano with news guy Al Gattulo and traffic with Debbie Duhame. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
Hey, good morning. It's Joe on the radio. That is a gentleman by the name of Al Hurt from New Orleans, one of the great trumpet players ever in the history of American music. And I just found it when I took trumpet in like seventh grade, and Al dug that one up for me. So thank you for putting that on. Al Hurt, great guy. 5 minutes after 6 o'clock with Joe Piscopo on the radio. There's so much to get into. I don't even know where to start. And I'm not concerned, but grateful that you're with us. And we got a great show, and we're going to get into it, okay? Because we like to have, as you know, from yesterday, we had such a silly show, and I hope you don't mind. Sometimes you just got to get away from the noise. And the noise is insane. And then you watch all the news break here over the last 24 hours. And again, we're into, like, this vortex of insanity in politics. And we're going to get into it, and we want to come to an end game. Because I'm hearing people say things, people have been elected, and I sit there and my jaw kind of drops, and I go, who are they listening to? How are these people getting elected? You know, as bad as they feel about some of us who maybe voted for Donald J. Trump, for example, they look at us like, oh, like we're aliens. What they don't understand is we feel the exact same way about them, who they put in office. And now I'm thinking, man, we have to start somewhere. So Rick Klein's going to join us, and we'll get into Rick Klein early during this hour, which we always appreciate Mr. Klein joining us, political director of ABC News. Dr. Steve Adubato, Emmy Award-winning anchor on PBS, author, host of The Leadership Hour, Sundays on AM 970, The Answer. We're going to talk about Governor Murphy's State of the State address. Gordon Chang is with us. We're going to talk about North Korea sending negotiators to Washington, exactly what's going on with North Korea. North Korea could have 100 nuclear warheads by 2020. China's intellectual theft, things that matter, excuse me, Mr. Chang will answer all those for us. Assemblyman Robert Auth, he's a Republican representing the 39th Assembly District in Bergen and Passaic County. We'll be chatting with Assemblyman Auth about Phil Murphy's address. David Asman is a great guy, strong faith, great reporter, great on TV, great in person, all around great guy. Host of Bulls and Bears on the Fox Business Network weekdays at 5 p.m. David Asman will join us live. And Michael Goodwin. Now, see, and I always appreciate Frankie putting together a show this good because we love you that much and appreciate you being with us. We do not take it for granted. We could have fun. We'll take your phone calls. We'll do it. Hey, I'll do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? But I like to give you something with credibility in it. And when Michael Goodwin closes out the show, you have as much credibility as you're going to get on a radio show. 8 minutes after 6 o'clock with Joe. I don't know where to start, except that we can go with Governor Cuomo. Governor Cuomo, State of the State address, and he said a couple things about what's my favorite? Yeah, that's right, congestion pricing. I didn't hear one thing from the governor's. And good morning, how are you? I hope you're okay. I'm watching this stuff. I'm watching New York and New Jersey being taken away from us, man. When I was a kid coming up in Jersey, we loved Jersey. It was all about Jersey, man. You know, with the music, the people, the family, the neighborhoods. It was Jersey, you know what I'm saying? And I wrote the jokes 30, 40 years ago, whatever it was, what exit. We had fun. Well, we got it, you know? You drive down the turnpike. You see that flame that I love, my favorite flame, the eternal flame of Jersey. You know, you go by, you see, what does that flame burn? We have no idea what that flame does. It just burns on the turnpike, baby, and we love it. That's us. you know, the 747 screaming over your head, 2 feet over your car as it lands at Newark Airport, right? You know, the Newark Harbor, man. You know, you see it all. It's all part of us. And then the beauty of Hunterdon County, out where I live, you know. And the beauty of the people in the neighborhoods and the family, man. There's a tenor and a texture there in the state of New Jersey. And I know you feel that same way if you're from Staten Island, from Bronx, from Queens, or from Brooklyn. You know, there's a specialness about being from New York or New Jersey, I think. And then when you're in Jersey, too, where do you want to go? We got to go to New York, you know. You know, Bruce would write about that. You got to get to New York, you know. And we'd always go down to the Village, see all the music of the day. You know, and New York, me, I wanted to get to NBC. Wow, man, I can go to 30 Rock. I'm going to work at 30 Rock, Mom. Look at this, right? All taken. It's all everything that we feel, that you feel. You know, good, bad, and the difference is, but I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what, with respect to the people in charge, because I'm not going to say anything negative, but I just do not understand it. I don't know who they're placating to. Who are they placating to? People who don't support, in my opinion, law enforcement, and don't support consequences, who don't support loyalty, who don't understand we have to work. Who they just want everything for free, and you and I are paying for it. How did we get here? Oh, man. Well, I didn't vote for those guys, so I don't want to take responsibility. But Governor Cuomo, let's take a couple clips, okay? We'll break this down, and then we'll go to the guys, because I'm trying to be as organized here as I can, because a lot has been happening. Governor Cuomo, state of the state on congestion pricing, please. Here we go.
Congestion pricing has electronic tolling for vehicles that enter what we call the Manhattan Central Business District. We estimate that it would raise about $15 billion in capital.
It's a tax. It's an assault. It's a slap in the face to anybody who comes into the great city of New York. It's a tax. And I don't care that you marginalize it. Well, it's not on the FDR drive. Well, it'll drive more traffic. It's a tax. And when you hit people up at the tolls and the Port Authority, and we could barely pay our tolls, also the people that work, the businesses and the trucks that have to come in. I mean, who are they? We'll get into it, and we'll see who is maybe doesn't have to adhere to this. But you go up into the 60th down to downtown, and then you come back and forth. What do you have to have, an electronic device? It's all taxes. It's all taxes. And then how, with a straight face, does the state of New York tax us driving when you have Amazon coming in? I guess you gave away so much, you're not going to make any money from Amazon. Google stays. All these great, huge, Wall Street is there. Can we use any of that money? Why do we continually assault the intelligence of the citizens of New York by taxing them? That's all you do is tax them. And they can't even fix NYCHA. The New York City Housing Authority is in disarray. And there's homeless all over the street. And if I sound in despair, I'm not. I'm just confused. And then this about the legalization of marijuana. I swear to goodness, if I hear this one more time, here's Governor Cuomo on the legalization of marijuana.
Nobody under 21 years old. It generates approximately $300 million in tax revenue.
We'll keep it away from the schools. We don't want it in bad neighborhoods. What was that, Barzini? Is that who he is? Barzini now? It's like the Godfather. We'll legalize drugs. Keep it away from him. Keep it away from there. And, you know, what is he talking about? And this from the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, about marijuana. Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
We must ensure that those with a past mark on their records because of a low-level offense can have that stain removed so they can move forward.
I don't understand that no one, not one person, that not in New York and not New Jersey, and they're applauding at these state-of-the-state addresses, says anything about we'd like to cap taxes, we'd like to cut taxes, we'd like to make it more affordable. You know, and you hear Robert Auth will talk about it. We'll talk to Steve Adubato about it. Also, John Bramnick, our friend, had a great, on Twitter, he had a great retort on behalf of the GOP with Tom Kaine. And they said there's nothing about making it more affordable to live in New York and New Jersey. See, if you're a politician, you don't know. You get everything for free. You get the driver. You get your office. You get your car. You get the guy that walks around, the gal that walks around and says, governor, you have to go to the next appointment now. You get all of that. You get pension and welfare you and I can only dream of.
and we pay for it all. So you're out of touch, I think. You're out of touch with the regular folks. Unbelievable. And then Senator Gillibrand announcing to run for president. You know, I used to really, I think, oh, this is a nice gal. Great. All right. Senator Gillibrand. And she was very, very, seemed somewhat to be like a conservative Democrat. Then she goes on Stephen Colbert yesterday and she goes, oh, she's forming a presidential exploratory committee. What are these people thinking? And why is all of a sudden she changing her whole tenor as a politician? Everything she ever, she's just changing around just so she could run for president. And now she's running for president. It's amazing that these people, what kind of ego do you have to run for president? And what has she done? And then what about the Clinton? What about her with Bill Clinton? What about the Me Too movement? I'm a woman. Well, then what were you doing with Harvey Weinstein and with Bill Clinton? Could someone please call me and explain these things to me like we're just supposed to forget? Yeah, could someone please explain that to me? Because I am so confused exactly what's going on and how they can go and how they get away with it. How they get away with it. And then a new caravan is coming up, by the way. That's a whole other story. We'll get to William Barr in a second. But the caravan coming up, this is a political hit job. This is the, let's put it in play. Let's get the caravan up. And it's just to irritate us. And they put it. I want to know what the UN is doing. I want to know what the world, quote unquote, this everybody's global. I had a conversation the other day when I did that gig Saturday night. Yeah, well, you can't manufacture in the inner cities. You can't bring jobs to the inner cities. This is what this guy's telling me. No, why? America first. No, it's a globalization of everything. No, it's not. That's exactly what's wrong with the country. And if indeed you want to be a globalist, where is everybody? And what you're pulling out of NATO, what is that going to hurt us? What does NATO do anyway? I'm confused. Someone's got to walk me through all this because it doesn't make any sense exactly what's going on. So and the caravan is coming up. William Barr is going to probably be the AG. Did great. I thought he was great in those hearings yesterday. I thought he handled himself great. I don't anybody from any Bush administration I'm not crazy about. I have to be perfectly honest with you. You know, is it the deep state? Is it the swamp? I don't know. Whatever it is, this guy seems great. And he handled himself great. And he got respect from both sides. So we'll see. I don't like they use the word bully. I'm not going to be bullied by anybody. And I know they use that word bully because they want to reference Donald J. Trump. I'm tired of that. But this guy seems like a really smart guy. And he deserves bipartisan support. I'm reading here from Fox News, Tuesday's confirmation hearing for William Barr. President Trump's pick for U.S. attorney before the Senate Judiciary Committee saw a few fireworks. Lindsey Graham conceded that Democrats had asked appropriate questions. So that hopefully that'll go through. You know, he wants you want everybody just to kind of join together here. More Benghazi. Okay, let's go back to Benghazi. Come on, guys. Can we just build infrastructure? Can we create jobs? Can we all join together and sit down? Plus test two, and we'll go to the guys. I see so many young Democrats wanting to sit down with the president. President invites them to the White House about the quote unquote wall thing, and no one shows up. Why? Because the powers that be say, you can't do that. They don't care about us. They could care less about us. There's not an inkling of, they don't care about you, about me, about that. We are in this alone, man. We are so in this alone. They don't care. All they care about is playing to their base. That's all they care about. And then we'll get into it, too. I see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Maxine Waters are going to be on a finance committee in Washington. Hey, that's going to work out great. That's good. Do you realize where we're going? The minefield that we're going in? And I'm not going to be one of those arch right guys that say, oh, you can't put any, you have to put all conservatives in and you can't talk to the Democrats. And I'm not like one of the guys. I'm trying to go right down the middle here and I need some help. This is getting completely out of hand. And it's upsetting to see all these things unfold when not once from anyone, not one public servant thinks about you or me and what we're doing. Hey, you know what? Can I tell you the good news now at 18 minutes after 6 o'clock? So, you know, we're talking about working out. We're having some fun with that last couple of days. So I want to make an announcement here in our intimate hour as you gather around our virtual kitchen table here. We're opening a gym in a town called Flemington, New Jersey, technically Ringo's, New Jersey, and we're opening a retro fitness. Is that cool? So I've been working. I wasn't supposed to talk about it, but I could talk about it now. So now I'm going to have like my own, not my own gym. I have partners, you know. So we're going to go in and we're going to do a little gym down in Flemington, New Jersey. You'll hear about that. And we'll come on the radio. I'm going to have some fun with it. But I couldn't talk about it. I was so excited. So maybe we'll do a broadcast. The Frankie Five Bros. Good morning, Alan Frank. Good morning. Maybe I'll broadcast on the
news.
Gym.
Congratulations.
Yeah. But your workouts are short. So what are you going to do? You're going to do what?
Is that the uniform of the gym? Is suits and ties?
Right.
Yeah, suits and shorts. It's a Wall Street workout gym. Is exactly right.
I like it.
So no, I'll get you in that gym. I'll get you out of that gym in no time. So you don't have to, because people, you know what the thing about the gym is. Listen, you're more than welcome to come in. We'll broadcast from down there. It's a beautiful gym, by the way, Retro Fitness, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And so
you don't want to see me doing squats in a suit. I mean, really, the first one.
So it's open now, or is it not?
It is open now, and then it took ownership at midnight last night.
Wow,
you know,
congratulations!
This morning. Thank you.
In there at midnight working out.
It's not me. It's more like I just handed it off to the brains in the outfit. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's a beautiful gym. So I'm excited about it because I just want to do it. So I'll take some of those retro pictures that Matt was posting. You know, we'll put those up.
Is this your first gym ever that you've had?
Yes.
Wow.
No one is able to sit on the machine and look at their smartphone while someone else is waiting to get on the machine.
Smack their phone out of their hand?
Yeah. Come on. I'll be like Patton. I'll take a glove and smack him in the head. What are you, coward? Get off that gym machine, you coward.
I can see you walking around with a riding crop.
Yeah.
Overhead light.
Yeah.
Overhead light.
I got no legs, Arnold. Light from the side. Light from the side. That's how Arnold's giving me like.
And the juice bar will only serve fish and rice. Fish and rice.
I like a smoothie, please. We got fish and rice. Fish and rice.
Fish smoothie.
You got a graze at Episcopos Gym. Graze. I'll totally lose it. I'll be like Patton, the maniac gym man at Retro Fitness in Flemington, New Jersey. I graze. Oh, my gosh. We'll get it down. Hey, Debbie, good morning. You got to come down to Flemington, New Jersey, kid.
Oh, well, I'll be there. I can stop down on a weekend without a doubt. Yeah.
Oh, you're
great.
No, we'll do a whole thing. We're going to do a whole thing. We'll do a whole marketing thing. I'm excited about it. And
this is great.
I know. My friend Stacy put it together because I didn't know. Mm-hmm. She knew Eric, who owns Retro Fitness. They put it together. Mm-hmm. Joe, would you attach your name to it? And then you'd be. And I went and took a look at it. It's great. It's got.
Wow.
I could get really. You know, they have that hammer strength. You ever see the hammer strength equipment, which is great? And no one has anymore. We got it there. It's great.
Great.
A lot of life fitness machines. Mm-hmm. And the whole top floor is all cardio, you know, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Retro Fitness.
We'll check it out.
We'll have fun. Deb, how you doing? How are you, my dear? Everything good with you?
Oh, yeah. Everything's great.
Post-holiday. Kind of like, okay, back into the craziness of the political world. Oh, my gosh.
Get back into shape. So it's good that you opened a gym. You know, I mean, this is perfect timing. Got to get back in shape after eating.
No sitting on the machine. If I go to one more young person, and then I go and I work out, and I go from one machine to the next, and they're sitting on the machine on their smartphone. Look, I am going to be the Patton in the gym with a glove in my hand and smack them on the head. Move on. Let's go. Next.
Come on. Work out.
Oh, man. Hey, Rick Klein's coming up momentarily. Steve Adubato, Gordon Chang on the show as well. David Asman, Michael Goodwin, Assemblyman Robert Auth, 622. That means Debbie Duhaime is out there looking out for you on the roads on AM 970, The Answer.
Well, the old Tappan Zee Bridge came down yesterday, and the Mario Cuomo Tappan Zee Bridge moving smoothly this morning. A problem right now, Joe, on the sprain south at Tuckahoe Road into Yonkers. It's an overturned car, so watch out for some slowdowns heading right through that stretch. Heading to the inbound side of the GWB, it's up to 20, Lincoln 15, Holland 15 minutes getting into town, 80 East getting out toward Mount Arlington, reports of an accident, and over on Route 9, some late-running construction northbound as you get up toward the Garden State Parkway. Let's see what else is happening this morning. Traffic is moving slowly across Bronx West, getting out toward the GWB because of earlier problems at the outbound George Washington Bridge and the southbound Harlem River Drive into the 120s. A collision there to watch for. Checking in on the forecast, partly cloudy today, high of 42, mostly cloudy tomorrow, high of 33. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Gregory Floyd, host of Reaching Out, gets answers to the tough questions from people in the know.
Our very special guest is Corey M. Stern. He represents individuals who have catastrophically been injured, with an emphasis on children that have suffered brain damage from lead poisoning. What is your experience with lead poisoning?
My most vast experience is in Flint, Michigan, where we represent about 3,000 children who were all lead poisoned by consuming the water in Flint. And in New York City, where hundreds if not thousands of kids have been exposed to lead-based paint in New York City Housing Authority's buildings. The Housing Authority is the biggest landlord in the city.
Biggest landlord in the country.
The population of public housing in New York City is about 400,000 people, which is roughly the same size as the population of Boston, Massachusetts.
It's Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, Saturday nights at 7 on AM 970, The Answer. Tune in every Saturday at noon for Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, Ph.D., and get answers to all your health-related questions. That's Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, Ph.D., Saturdays at noon on AM 970, The Answer.
Stop chasing customers and let them chase you. Salem Surround offers full-service digital solutions. We'll help target the exact demographic you want in the exact area you want. Perfect for increasing awareness, a big sale, or rolling out a new product. If you need more business, you need Salem Surround. Call now for a free digital marketing checkup. Call Greg Cooper, Salem Surround Media Strategist, at 212-857-9635. 212-857-9635. Salem Surround. Digital solutions. Real results. 212-857-9635.
Dennis Prager, coming up at 1 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hey, good morning. It's Joe on the radio. It's 625 on AM 970. The Answer. Great to have you with us. It is a wild, wild day, January 16th, 2019, and a lot to get into. And here it is only the first hour, you know, and I want to get into it with the guys and everything and have some fun. But everything we watch, and I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone when I watch the last 24 hours watching the news. It's like the Twilight Zone. But why should this morning be any different? I did want to mention that two storms are headed to the tri-state region. Later this week, the forecast calls for the first storm to move in Friday morning. An inch of snow is expected for New York, with a few more inches falling north and west. Second storm projected to be stronger will hit Saturday night into Sunday morning. Meteorologists say it'll bring a mix of rain and snow, so just be aware of that. And Joe Lumberg will break it all down for us as we get into it. So the shutdown, did we talk about the shutdown? I want to promote Salem Media. You know, we're so excited. I can tell you Mike Gallagher's coming up after us. Dennis Prager's on the network. And Dr. Sebastian Gorka. How cool is that? You know, we have Dr. Gorka on the network, so I don't mean to plug satellite radio, but the funniest thing I had to touch on is David Webb is a buddy, you know, he's a broadcaster on Sirius XM, and then he's talking to a gal. He's talking. Did you see that? Did you see that, Frankie? Or somebody? He's talking.
I did. That was wild.
He's talking to this African American gal, and David Webb is a black man. And she's going, oh, you have white privilege. She's telling David Webb, you got white. I don't want to play the audio because I don't want our bosses to get mad that we're playing Sirius XM on Salem Media. But it was so funny. And David's a great guy, classy guy, right? David Webb, he goes, hey, excuse me. You are not prepared. Your people didn't tell you I'm a black man. And it was like the whole mantra of the left in that David Webb interview just went right out the window. Frankie, what are they doing? What is white privilege? She stays on white privilege. And then David tries to say, and there is no white privilege. David's a black man telling him there is no white privilege. Yet she's still trying to explain. She apologized to Mr. Webb. But then David goes on to say, what's the white privilege thing? Frankie, catchphrases. It's insanity out there, man. I knew that you were listening to that, man.
Yeah, I think a lot of who ends up getting on television or radio these days is not necessarily people that have the most intellectual depth or the most experience. It's people that are willing to say the most cartoonish and clownish things. I think it's largely a reflection of that. It's absurd.
Yeah, I had to mention that, man. That's just too funny. Hey, it's Joe on the radio with the guys, and Frankie, all good with you? Everything all right?
Everything's great, man? Absolutely.
All good. And Albert in a happy mood this morning, a good mood.
No, not really in a happy mood. I'll admit that. First of all, Governor Murphy, a clown, he gets up there yesterday, gives a speech. And the other thing he's coming at you. The first thing that offends me, though, is the fact that neither Cuomo's State of the State nor Governor Murphy's was broadcast anywhere on radio. Couldn't find it anywhere. Even the radio station that is supposedly serving New Jersey didn't carry it live. That, to me, I find offensive because I think people, you know, if you can, you should be able to listen to it. So that being said, I had to spend an hour and a half waiting for my son to get out of school yesterday. He was busy doing a film project, so I was able to read portions of Murphy's speech and see a little bit of it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did he once in that hour-long speech mention anything about property tax relief, Joe?
No.
That's $15 an hour. Let's get legalized marijuana. Let's bring businesses and jobs and all this other stuff.
Amen.
Who's paying for it, Governor?
Amen.
Who's paying for it?
We are. Yeah.
I
can't figure it out. And with Governor Cuomo, too, with the Godfather thing, he sounded like Barzini. Did you hear that? We'll keep it away from schools. We want it in this neighborhood, not in that.
And then 21. He talks about congestion pricing. It's an electronic toll. Yeah, we get it, Governor. I mean, come on. These guys are both clowns. And then Senator Gillibrand. This one, she got some chutzpah, this one. Okay? Here's a senator, when she was a congresswoman upstate, in upstate New York, Joe, before she became a senator.
Right.
She was against same-sex marriage. She rejected amnesty for undocumented immigrants. And, oh, by the way, NRA rating, 100%. Voted for guns every single time.
Right, right. Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, she's this progressive, wants amnesty for undocumented immigrants, can't stand guns, is for same-sex marriage. Also, by the way, 3 months ago, she ran for re-election. We had Shea Farley in this studio, right? She was running against her. She said, Senator Gillibrand, on ABC television in front of Bill Ritter, when Bill Ritter asked her the question, said, if you were elected to your six-year term, are you going to serve your six-year term? She said, yes, I will serve my six-year term if reelected. Oh, gee, what changed, Senator? Why do these people have to lie? Honestly, if you're going to run for another office, you should not be holding the office that you're in now.
Well broken down, Al Gattulo. We love it. We love it and appreciate everything you're saying. You're right on the money, as usual.
My question
is this to you. Where do they get the money? Who steps up and who puts this bug in their ear saying, you know, you should run for president? Who are these people? Who do they think? They think that Elizabeth Warren's going to win or Kamala Harris is going to win. And then Gillibrand stepping up. I mean, and the women, stop playing the woman card, for God's sakes. These folks have, I mean, who comes into their ear and goes, we're going to finance this. It's going to cost $200 million and you're going to run for president. Are they kidding? Really?
Well, so I think your commentary and the latter part of what you said really answers your question in terms of the first part of what you said is Gillibrand's candidacy seems largely because the women are coming of age politically. You see a lot more women elected to the House of Representatives, at least in the Democratic caucus. Yeah. And with the whole Me Too movement, you've seen a lot of women ascend to the top stratosphere in media and in the corporate world. And so I think Gillibrand is basing her whole candidacy on appealing to women, to independent women, and that's sort of where she's going to hope for a lot of fundraising sources. I mean, if you look at a lot of what she's distinguished herself in the U.S. Senate, now, I'm not fond of Chuck Schumer at all, but Chuck Schumer has actually a pretty distinguished record in terms of working on legislation, introducing legislation, and fighting for different kind of bread and butter issues for the state. The only two issues that Gillibrand has really distinguished herself on are one, in the sexual harassment issue, and then two, remember, she was the one that pushed Al Franken out of the U.S. Senate, and she's
hanging out with Harvey Weinstein and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, well, so she has said that Bill Clinton should have resigned and she should not have accepted, you know, his endorsement or his support. Right. But so she is making her whole issue, her whole race about the issue of sexual harassment and creating more opportunities for women in this current climate. We'll see where it goes. The one thing that's for sure, as you've seen by the fact that she was on Stephen Colbert last night, is she's going to be able to get a lot of media attention. And as we saw from Donald Trump in 2016, if you can get get free media. In an environment where candidates are going to be spending $300, $400, $500 million to get on TV, if you can get the networks to give you coverage for free, then that is a tremendous advantage. The other area where Gillibrand has distinguished herself is, you know, in terms of getting the Zadroga Act passed for the 9/11 first responders. So I didn't hear her mention that in her Colbert commentary yesterday, but I didn't watch the whole interview.
Right. And more importantly, I'm seeing, was it NJ.com came out with the top pizzas in New Jersey? We're going through. I'm running down the list now. Did you find that, Frankie?
I haven't been to any of these. I was looking for that spot in New Jersey that you recommended near that jewelry store, but I didn't see them in there. I wasn't sure which county that was in.
Which one is that now?
I don't remember the name of it. I went there once. The pizza was pretty good. I don't remember the name of it.
Those lists are subjective. I mean, I've not eaten in any of them. I've not eaten in any of those pizza places. I mean, some of them sound good, but he even dismissed one county. Was like, there's really no great pizza in this county. But you know,
no. But look, I'm looking at Bridgeton. It's down south, Cape May.
That one is an odd one.
Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah, the one in Cape May is odd because you have to order it online and then go pick it up. You can't go there and order pizza.
Well, Cape May, I love Cape May. I try to go there every summer. But it's not really a community that I would say is known for its pizza.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Huntington County, Liberty Hall Pizza. I haven't seen, but I don't know, man. The pizza too. I'm gonna go to break. We gotta go make way for River Klein. Here's Asbury Park. I see, but the pizza,
that pizza place I've eaten in, that's actually very good.
Yeah, Florham Park, Nona's. We know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know some of these, but the pizza that you gotta do, it was called Caldwell Pizza. And it was spectacular back in the day. And I'm dating myself. And I did something when I did an ABC special 100 years ago. And it was, and you know what the trick was? Aside from the dough, aside from the water, mm-hmm. in Jersey, New York, olive oil. They would put olive oil underneath. Before they put the dough onto the pizza pan, they would put olive oil on it. So it would have kind of like this burnt kind of thin crust, and it was olive oil was the trick. And if you can get somebody to duplicate that, then you got a good pizza.
So you're a thin crust guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, so okay. I know we got to run, Joe, but in this list, they include, in Atlanta County and some other places, they include tomato pie as the best pizza in the county. I never really considered tomato pie pizza.
Agreed. Right. Agreed.
It shouldn't be. Tomato pie shouldn't be on this list.
That's right.
I'm glad I don't read the Star Ledger regularly.
As usual, Frankie Five Boroughs. I'm like, not enough to get into. We're going to have a debate about pizza now. 6:36, Rick Klein from ABC News will join us momentarily, and we'll make sense of it all. Big Al standing by with the headline news. You're listening to AM 970, The Answer.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
29 degrees at 6:36. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. A person is dead. Two others are in the hospital after an attack by a man inside a Brooklyn restaurant yesterday evening. Police say the suspect walked into an eatery in Sheepshead Bay, just started going after people at random. The 61-year-old owner, 34-year-old chef, and another 50-year-old were hurt and rushed to the hospital. According to officials, the 34-year-old chef died from his injuries. The others listed in critical condition. The hammer-wielding man tried to run off but was eventually arrested by the NYPD. His identity and the identities of the victims haven't been released. Governor Murphy delivered his first State of the State address yesterday at the New Jersey State House. He reiterated some of his top priorities, including campaign pledges to legalize recreational marijuana, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, and investing in New Jersey Transit. Murphy also touted his successes, including reinstituting funding for Planned Parenthood, strengthening New Jersey's already tough gun laws, and signing one of the strongest equal pay laws in the country. He also wants to invest in education, better infrastructure, and offshore wind energy, along with having better and transparent tax incentives. In sports, as you heard here last night on The Answer, Seton Hall lost 72-63 at Providence. Rangers blow out the Hurricanes 6-2. The Devils, they were crushed by the Blue Jackets 4-1. And we've got St. John's basketball on our air tonight. Tip-off is at 6:30 right here on The Answer. Stuck in traffic, Debbie Duhame's got the answer.
Good morning, Al. Serious accident on the island. Vets Highway westbound at 112. It's an accident. Looks like only one lane getting by at this point, so expect delays on Vets Highway. Traffic is still a problem on the Harlem River Drive southbound, getting down toward 116th Street. Looks like an accident. accident just about cleared. Grand Central Parkway East at Kew Gardens, it's an accident as well. Still really busy. Cross Bronx West, White Plains Road, out toward the GWB because of earlier problems at the outbound George Washington Bridge. Inbound GWB 20, Lincoln Tunnel 25, Holland 15. And traffic is moving slowly this morning as you take a ride over to Route 4 eastbound, getting out toward Fort Lee, getting in toward the GWB. Route 9 northbound up through the area of the Garden State Parkway. Some construction just wrapped up in the sprain south at Tuckahoe Road in Yonkers, closed with an overturned vehicle. Partly cloudy today with a high of 42. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, high of 33. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Brought to you by Dell. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. That's why they offer one-on-one partnership and reliable business PCs with Intel Core processors to help you get business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Looking for ways to save with your Medicare plan? Walgreens is a preferred network pharmacy with many plans nationwide, which could mean lower copays for you. So bring your prescriptions to a Walgreens pharmacy today to start saving. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Walgreens participates as a preferred network pharmacy with UnitedHealthcare, Cigna HealthSpring, and Express Scripts Medicare. For a complete list of available plans, please contact 1-800-MEDICARE. TTY users should call 1-877-486-2048. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or consult www.medicare.gov. Other pharmacies are available in our network.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and I'm here to tell you that there's no better way to spend the most romantic day of the year than by enjoying some of the best Italian food in Manhattan with your special someone at Giardino d'Oro Ristorante at 5 Gold Street, right by the station here. Giardino d'Oro is authentic, has wonderful service, has a classic intimate setting. Enjoy wine, a gourmet insalata, and classic Italian dishes from the special Valentine's Prefix 4-course dinner menu, like ravioli quattro formaggi, made with homemade pasta stuffed with gourmet cheeses, or the filetto di bronzino, served with extra virgin olive oil, fresh herbs, and chopped garlic sauce. Just visit GiardinoDoro.com or call 212-514-6400. Make a reservation or just stop in. It's right by the station. Benny is there. James and Valentino are there. Don't miss Valentine's Day at Giardino d'Oro.
Need to grow your business? Want to get ahead of your competition? Call Salem Surround for full-service digital marketing. Salem Surround. Digital solutions. Real results. Call Greg Cooper at 212-857-9635. 212-857-9635.
It's Jay Sekulow Live, today at 3 on AM 970, The Answer. Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
Good morning, Joe Piscopo on the radio, 641 on AM 970, The Answer, around the country on AM 970, TheAnswer.com. Appreciate your tweets and your social media everywhere. Love you keeping in touch with us. Proud to have you with us. Rick Klein is the political director of ABC News, Long Island's finest. This young man is Rick. Welcome back to the show. Always great to have you with us, my friend.
Hey, great to be here, Joe.
Hey, so Rick, I'm so confused this morning. I mean, the 24-hour news cycle, I don't know how you're handling it as political director of ABC News. Oh, my God, Rick, have ever. I mean, you're a young guy. I'm old. I've never seen anything like this, not in college, not after, not during the Nixon years. The news keeps going and going and going. Let's start with, if we may, Mr. Klein, the shutdown. Any end in sight here?
There really isn't. It's the weirdest shutdown. You know, I've got friends who are impacted by it. I obviously, services, we've seen that, you know, if you've been trying to fly in the last couple of weeks, you've seen those lines grow. You know, the impact is being felt, and Trump's economists are now saying it's having a big impact even on the economy. But it's not even like there's negotiations going on. I mean, the president's having a couple of members of Congress over today. There's no proposal on the table. You know, this is just one of those ultimate showdowns that's got to end with something big, kind of shaking it, or one side or the other finally caving. And, you know, we're 25 days in. We've already broken a record. And, man, it's a strange one because there doesn't seem to be a real sense of urgency around solving it, even though so many people are feeling it.
Right. Now, why did the centrist Democrats reject that invitation from the president to talk? I mean, what good does that do to anyone?
Yeah, it's a curious one, especially some of those are brand new to Congress. You know, at least take the meeting, right? But
yes.
I think the Democratic leadership knew what was going on. They said, look, this is obviously a strategy to divide the Democrats. They've been united through this. If anything, they're more united by the opposition to Trump than they were coming into this. And I think they, you know, talking to their members, they recognize that this is a tactic that was trying to pit Democrats against each other. Democrats just won an election 2 months ago. They have 40 extra seats. They've got control of the House. They don't feel like they're in a position of having to come hat in hand to the White House. But again, I do think that the piece of positioning for Republicans is now they're able to say, we're trying here. We're trying to get some reasonable people to the table. Now the Democrats aren't letting them.
Hey, Rick Klein, what do you think about this? I had this idea. Is the president goes and does a private raise with his friends from Wall Street for the wall. Is that a wild idea? You think he could probably do that, right? Isn't that great, though? Go to Ken Langone, Dick Grasso, you know, Joe Grano, all these giants from Wall Street, Robert Wolf, the, you know, Democrat. Well, hey, I need some money and get a couple billion. Not a bad idea, Rick, huh?
I guess you could still look at donations any other way. Look, given that Mexico isn't paying for it, given Congress isn't paying for it, if he wants it, somebody's going to have to pay for it. And this emergency declaration, there's only so much he can even do with that, even if he did it, because he still has to have money. So, hey, why not find some rich friends? That could buy a lot of McDonald's, though. I don't know.
I love the deal. Don't you think that he really just did that? And I read off of a James Woods Twitter who – You got to have a sense of humor about all of this, Rick. I mean, really. But I think the president does that to irritate people, just to have fun with it. Watch, I'm giving McDonald's to the kids because I love it. I mean, America loves to see that. But I think some people took it a little too personal, huh?
You know, I'll tell you, though. You know the president. He loves his fast food. And, you know, I had a conversation with him, you know, when he was on the campaign trail in Ohio and flying back on Air Force One. He had brought in a whole mess of McDonald's. And I asked him, you know, why? And he said, you know, he says, people always say, you know, you should get food wherever you are. He's like, but what if it's not good? With McDonald's, I know what it's going to be every time. It's going to be good. And, you know, he doesn't have sophisticated taste buds for all his sophisticated other pieces of his life, right?
Rick, you go Long Island, you go to Princeton. Now you're the political director of ABC News. You're on Air Force One. Was it on Air Force One?
This was on Trump Force One,
and then you're having a conversation about McDonald's with Donald J. Trump.
You'll figure. Also, remember, you know, the Clemson players, they're 19, 20 years old. You know, they're 300 pounds. You don't think they'd like to have the fast food every once in a while?
I know. Said there's some things about this whole. This is the politics that I really, really, absolutely love. Hey, but William Barr looked pretty good yesterday in his confirmation hearings, huh?
Yeah, you know, there was more. I think he said more and said it in a more forthright way than a lot of people expected. I was surprised to learn that he's been friends with Mueller for 20
years. Yes, was that wild?
Bob. I wonder with this. You know, did the president know what he was getting with him, given the memo that he had written saying that he had the right to fire Comey and that Mueller may be overstepping? Was he surprised by anything he heard yesterday? He was silent on Twitter, or did he know that that he needed to get someone that was a reach back, someone had done the job before, and you wouldn't get someone confirmed who didn't show that kind of independence, given the stakes and given the scrutiny? I legitimately don't know, but I was surprised. I didn't expect to hear that.
Yeah, they kept using the word gravitas in the media, but more so than gravitas, I thought command. I was impressed by Barr's command of that whole confirmation hearing. Am I right here?
Oh, you guys, exactly. That came through to me. I mean, the guy was very comfortable. He was comfortable saying what he didn't know. Even, you know, there were a couple of Democratic senators who were basically trying to embarrass him into recognizing that he didn't know the answer to a question or what a law meant. And he was very forthright. He said, I'll study it up. You know, I used to know when I had the job in the 90s.
Yeah.
But I'll get it again. He was a guy that was comfortable with what the role is. And even under this most unusual president and unusual set of circumstances, I think he did it better than you can really expect someone to perform.
Yeah, and the feelings in Washington, Rick Klein, Senator Gillibrand going in on the Colbert show, and she looked like she was going to say, "Oh, my daughter's having a baby." Like she was going to say something. It was like it was just a little weird. I don't know why it was weird, and maybe because we know her from New York, and then she did a complete turnaround, you know, in her political outlook and everything, like we were talking about earlier. But I mean, do these gals and gals aside, because they're playing the woman card, but do these people think they actually could win Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, and Corey's going to go in? I mean, do these people think they could win, and do they actually have a shot, Rick Klein?
You know, I think they're looking at a field that could have 25 legitimate contenders, and they recognized last time when the Republicans had 17, the guy that no one thought would win won. So, you know, you and I can sit here and handicap odds and say very unlikely, almost certainly not. But, you know, hey, if this breaks there and these two votes run and they eat each other's liberal base away and they split Iowa and New Hampshire, you know, you can game plan this any different way. I think right now for a bunch of 2020 years, Gillibrand, I think, is a legitimate contender. So I wouldn't necessarily put her in this category. But I think there's almost no risk to just get in now, get a bunch of attention, see if you catch fire. And if you get your way to the first debate in June, that's great. If things start falling apart after that, I don't think all of these men and women are going to be running when it comes to January in Iowa, but a bunch of them are, and they all have an argument, and we'll see what happens.
You know, you can't Joe Biden. And when I mentioned Joe Biden, you know, to a conservative, individual, Joe Biden. But you can never underestimate Joe Biden. I'm thinking right at the onset here, Rick, Biden Beto. What are you thinking?
I've heard it floated, and there's something about the generational, you know, the mashup there, and the idea that Biden would be passing off the torch. I think the biggest obstacle that Tickler would have right now in the Democratic Party is that it's two white men. And when you look at what Democrats, you know, where they lagged last time around and where they fell short against Trump, they can't take for granted minorities. They can't take for granted women. And I think the signal of in 2018 or 2019, 2020, having two white men on the ticket, I just don't know that flies in today's Democratic Party.
Oh, boy. You gave the campaign slogan, white privilege. We live it. I mean, you can't make it up. Hey, the Robert Mueller thing, before we let you go, Rick, always appreciate your valuable time and know how busy you are, man. Robert Mueller, when does it end? $30 million later. None of us know what's going on. When does this thing end?
Nobody knows. I mean, and, you know, now he's got a new boss, or we'll have a new boss. I presume he'd wait at least for this new attorney general. I think Barr was careful in his answers in saying that, you know, he would provide for as much transparency as possible. He did not necessarily say that the Mueller report itself would be public. But I think it was a pretty strong commitment that there would be something public about what they find. You hear it more and more from frustrated Democrats who pinned a lot of hope on this report, who say, you know, let's just get this done with. Tell us what you got. And, you know, they're still serving subpoenas on peripheral players. There's really no end in sight. You know, Rudy Giuliani has said many times that they're close. I don't really think that's based on hard facts. I think it may be based on wishful thinking at this point. So we don't know. Now we'll see if the new leadership there at the Justice Department changes the timeline.
Yeah, Rick, always great talking with you. Always enjoy our chats. Give our love to the family on Long Island, and please come back soon, my friend.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick Klein. Rick Klein, political director of ABC News with Piscopo in the morning, 6:51. Debbie Duhaime is on the roads for you, looking out for you traffic-wise. Hiya, Debbie. How we doing? AM970TheAnswer.com.
Hi, Joe. We've got a couple of problems out here this morning. Over on the Sprain, southbound, getting down toward Tuckahoe Road into Yonkers, two separate accidents. It looks like one car flipped over. It's going to take a while to get through this stretch. Only one lane squeezing by. Southbound Thruway moves fine, getting down toward that new Tappan Zee Bridge. 84 West at 684 in Brewster. An accident off on the shoulder. We're still seeing a lot of volume this morning as you take a ride to the inbound GWB Lincoln and the Holland, all about 20 to 25 minutes in across the board. 9 northbound slowing down up by the Garden State Parkway, getting up through Sayreville. Eastbound Belt getting out past Pennsylvania Avenue. An accident over there that's causing delays in both directions. Over on the Grand Central East at Kew Gardens, an accident. And the Cross Island northbound, right by Hempstead Turnpike, it's an accident still working there. Vets Highway West at 112, very serious accident being investigated. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Join me, John Friedman, for Talking Sports every Saturday evening, 8 to 10, right here on AM 970, The Answer, WNYM. We'll see you then.
The AM 970 Book of the Month from Regnery Publishing is Erasing America by James C. Robbins. Did you know that a Virginia school district is considering banning To Kill a Mockingbird because of complaints about racial slurs? In Erasing America, Robbins visits towns like these where the struggle over America's history is taking place and investigates the cultural effects of the pressure to erase our history. Enter to win a copy of Erasing America by James C. Robbins at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com.
Losing business to online companies? Competitors using social media to rob you of sales?
Is your current website 5 years behind the times or even one? Contact us at Salem Surround. Digital marketing that surrounds potential customers with your message wherever they engage, search, surf, socialize, or review. We offer a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness and suggest methods that could dramatically increase bottom line. Salem Surround takes the mystery of digital marketing off your shoulders, letting you do what you do best, run your business, while we deliver customers. Is your business taking full advantage of digital communication to reach more people? Are your competitors ahead of you? Now there are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI. Learn more by logging on to SurroundNewYork.com. SurroundNewYork.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Here's your AM 970 weather answer forecast.
Times of sun and clouds today and becoming breezy, high 40. Becoming mainly clear, brisk and colder tonight, though 25 in Midtown, but upper teens in some northern and western suburbs. Tomorrow, a colder day as some sun gives way to clouds, high 33. Some snow later tomorrow night into early Friday will accumulate 1 to at best 3 inches, with a coating to an inch at the Jersey Shore, Long Island, and in coastal Connecticut. Untreated surfaces will be slippery, though, into the Friday morning commute. The low tomorrow night, 29. Temperature will rise by Friday morning. Later Friday, clouds will break for some sun. The high, 44. AM 970, The Answer.
Mike Gallagher, live from our Wall Street studios. Coming up at 10 a.m. on AM 970, The Answer.
This portion of Piscopo in the Morning brought to you by Modell's Sporting Goods Store. Joe Piscopo on the radio, 6:54 with Joe and Frank and Al and Debbie looking out for you. Steve Adubato will join us next hour. Gordon Chang on the show. Gordon, a lot to talk about with North Korea. Could they have 100 nuclear warheads by 2020? And this intellectual theft by China, we're not addressing any of this. Gordon Chang, thank goodness, stays on top of all this. By the way, with Steve Adubato will be talking about Governor Murphy's State of the State address, his first one, and Trenton yesterday. David Asman on the show. I have a great affection and respect for David Asman. He has a great personal story. He is the great host of Bulls and Bears on the Fox Business Network weekdays at 5 p.m. And we're going to talk about the economic effects of this government shutdown, the battle over the border wall, and Michael Goodwin as well. Michael had a great article just yesterday, but as he always does, border security, this Governor Cuomo's state of the state. I mean, the fact that they go, the two chief executives in New York and New Jersey are railing about taxing. It's all they do. And I hate to say, because again, I'm a former lifelong Democrat, Blue Dog Democrat. All the Democrats know how to do is tax you. I have not heard one initiative. By the way, on the wall thing, and Donald Trump says wall, and the Democrats go, they just say no. They don't have any other idea on anything, on a single-payer health care. Is that it? No, I don't see anything. And it's so confusing to me that there's no initiatives put forth. So I don't know where we are, but the fact of the matter is, and me and Frank and Al have been talking about it for the longest time, they get voted in. These people get voted in. Frankie, it's very, very frustrating. Very frustrating. I don't see initiatives. I don't see any way to not only cut spending, number one, like our buddy Vinny in Belleville always says, but number two, to create revenue. To create revenue. There's nothing except taxation on our backs, man.
Well, I think what you're seeing here, Joe, is a confluence, a sort of a perfect storm of three different things, all of which are negative. One is the role of money in politics. When it costs millions of dollars to run for office, then politics, electoral politics, are going to be dominated by people that can self-fund, like Phil Murphy, and that may mean that better qualified, more experienced candidates don't run because they're not able to spend the kind of money that Phil Murphy can. If you're not a millionaire yourself or a billionaire yourself, then your only alternative is to do the full Governor Cuomo, which is to become the toady of special interests and corporations. So that's the first problem, is the role of money in politics. The second, you ask, how do people so extreme end up getting elected? The problem is, all over the country, including in New York and New Jersey, we don't have competitive districts anymore. Through gerrymandering and a variety of other factors, almost every district is solidly Democrat or Republican. That means all you have to do is win your party's primary and you will win the general election. That leads to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Steve King, the most extreme people in both parties getting elected. That means you have people going to Trenton, Albany, and Washington, no desire to work together, no desire to compromise, just designed to win their own party primaries. And then lastly, it's the fact that independents can't vote in primaries in New York that leads to these folks getting elected as
well. Yeah, well said, Frankie Five Bros. I'm confused. 877-970-2999. And then Ocasio-Cortez set to join Maxine Waters on key financial services committee. This from Fox News. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, you make that up. Where are we? My goodness gracious. Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking. 877-970-2999. Dr. Steve Adubato joining us. Gordon Chang, Assemblyman Robert Auth, David Asman, and Michael Goodman, Radio Piscopo, live from the greatest city in the world.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The Answer.
29 degrees at 6:59. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. Two people in critical condition after fire broke out in a Queens building yesterday afternoon. Fire began in an apartment above a store on Bell Boulevard in Bayside. The fire was under control about an hour later. A woman taken to Jacoby Hospital in critical condition. A second person was critically hurt, taken to North Shore LIJ. Officials still trying to determine the cause of the fire. There'll be a rush hour rally this morning in the Bronx, protesting proposed MTA fare hikes. Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. leading the 8 a.m. rally at the Concourse Village subway stop. It comes a day after Governor Cuomo talked about possible shakeups to the 14-member MTA board. The board is supposed to vote on a fare hike at the end of the month. In sports, Seton Hall lost 72-63 at Providence. Rangers blow out the Hurricanes 6-2. The Devils, they were crushed by the Blue Jackets 4-1.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.